some of you may know, as well as being a poet, I'm also a Sesquipedalian folk comic. So I have a gig on the 18th of February, my last one before I leave the country for between 6 months and a year. So if you want to come and give me a fiver, that'd be really good.
Is that a high five?
No. So this is my newest song. It's called "When You're As Perfect As Me, You Can Judge People in This City / Groupings." It's about my friends in Cork City, and I think they all fit into very rigid criteria. So it goes from, the first one is the hipsters, second ones are the hippies, third ones are the people I work with, the fourth ones are the alcoholics, and the fifth ones are the people who do a lot of talking. It's a song, but I'm not going to sing it. Extracts of philosophy in the stead of identity, artistic altruistic personality lacks in sincerity. Transcendental opportunity, accidental self-discovery, narcotic aided assurity, universal narcissicity. Monolithic mundarity, assumption of regularity, material vanity, progression of conformity. Alcoholic essentiality, indulgence by formality, inebriated hilarity, seeking pure validity. Over-eager, activity, confrontational, insanity, confusion of normality, assumption of superiority. These are the social stereotypes of Cork's privileged.
That's just it. Means a lot. Could we have Annie Block next week?
This one's called Tuesday Morning, but I think I actually wrote it on a Monday morning. Today is gonna be better, is what they both said, she and she, as though a moon's face would change a thing. Ulysses, the mess of day and thought, fragments chopped and stitched to a hard collage of the bigger collage of so-called dreams, makes the head even headier in the morning. A cycle to the cafe, the bus, or the coffee will straighten my curls and make the thread long and pointy again. Though not really the creamy liquid, but the other sores and choppers with pens and books and paper, ponytails and folders, and matching ties to patterned shirts, and neatly sliced cake, who seemed to succeed to give back logic, all logic that scattered last night and took off in all sorts of directions, too far for me to run after now. So I'll start the day right in the center of the blasted scene.
Thanks, Annie. Julie Aldridge, next, please.
This one is continuing the theme of death. And it's called Stalker. Death is stalking me. His bony black foot, his red toenails stick into my back. He's been striding the district, culling young ones and old, neighbours and friends. I turn about to face my fleeting foe, shout abuse and shake my stick, hell-bent on kicking, but even my dog knows it's futile, this shadow boxing.
Thanks, Julie. We have Pat Collar next, please.
You've all heard of peacocks.
Yes.
This is a poem about a pea cat. A cat coloured in feathers instead of fur emerged from an egg beneath her mother's teat. Betwixt her hairy, mewing siblings, she grew on milk.
Miss
The first time I read from screen actually was in San Francisco in 2006. You see people in San Francisco in 2006 would have been ready for somebody reading from the screen, but they were scandalized.
Some dude just read from his laptop over there. I found Ginsburg was here, what would he say?
Okay, sorry. Again. The cat covered. I took a tapping it, so it didn't go off again. Oh shit, no, it's something else.
You gotta start learning the poems, man.
This never happened in San Francisco 2006.
Is this the poem pattern?
No.
We're trying to
get rid of this thing. Alright, I have to read it. Cat is green. Okay, the cat covered in feathers instead of fur emerged from an egg beneath her mother's teat. Betwixt her hairy, mewing siblings, she grew on milk but earned the love of her family for all their fleas she swallowed. She was so proud of her bright, varicolored plumes, she felt complete disdain for the dull thatch of thrushes and crows. Any strange moggy who strayed into the neighborhood and mistook her curled... See? The fucking screen's gone. Sorry!
Back next week.
Part
two of that. Where I've learned it off. Thanks, Matt. Food chairs there.
That way, am I going the other way? This way, I think. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have bought a book. Not one of my own. Robert Greeson was a somewhat older contemporary of the people we're just thinking about. He married into a family of some note in West Cork, and I know a number of them. And he wrote, when he published his collected poems, you thought, well, perhaps that's the end. But no, Protestant Love a Horse, and published by Lagan Press some years later. And in this, there is something that can't be missed. You can't miss it. Wee Jeremy. Reaching from school, smoking butts, kicking everything that bounced or rolled, choking up gold posts on the slogan walls, I've never seen the like, said the old cloth cap. Back, screech, striker, oh, wizard with the O. The best, the very best. He made it into the big time. The muffled crowds, shots, whistles, goals, beauty queens, fast cars, drugs, scotch, transfer fees, managers, cameramen, darling of terraces and bedrooms, anger and blows in nightclubs, claims to places he couldn't place, a bottle of the hard stuff every bloody day. Jimmy, wee Jimmy, he got it made. Stacks of it salted away in Durek, at least 49,876 people loving him, from football lout to mid-space travel. His name headlined from Belfast to Bangkok. What more can we better want as the old clock?
Oh, oh, we're coming next.
I've got to do the next.
Let's go back.
This is called A Life-Changing Decision.
The last referendum held in Ireland, where marriage equality was allowed, gave the state strong liberal credentials. Nobody died, and joy was unconfined. That sweeping change could motivate a push for a similar outcome when citizens face a more distressing choice. On Clare Burn Live, Nell McCafferty was asked to tell us what she thought. Always the woman's champion, fearless in her fight for justice, in the past revealing hidden wrongs towards bullies and oppressed. She might figure as a firebrand, calling from the barricades, but she carefully put in context the topic for review. She was measured and judicious when making out her case. To highlight its complexity, she alluded to a time when her dismissive observation about a mass of formless cells drew from her mother a devastating tale. She went on to tell how she was shouted down by a group of marchers when she tried to counsel a more moderate approach. Sneers and jeers from sisters who seemed completely unaware of her role on the historic Belfast train to give those in the South access to the pill. A trailblazer for years, Nell could be an elder of the tribe, only too aware of the opposing views among those who cast their votes. She has made a plea for balance, civility, and respect.
Hello, Mary.
Do
Michelle Delay, please.
Hello, everybody. Before I read, over the last few days, during the shock of this week's occurrence, kind of made me reflect on the fact that it's not the first loss we've experienced together, and in light of that, I'm very thankful for this community existing, and I think it's a very good thing. And I just want to let it be said to remind everyone not to suffer in silence at all. This is what it is. So just remember that. Voice is sound the brain conducts. His words, arrangements of thought and rhythm, bathing punctured metal, mic morphs it, electric. Discrete speaker takes and brings it back to sound, brushes up to your shores, simulates a whisper. Too instant for your eyes to notice, too invisibly for you to think of its journey. Place a flower on the mic that amplified your masterpiece. Place a flower in the taxi base you gave your grace on tape to. And on the glass bridge your smile cracking lives above, chopped water we're merely made of. Place one in your coat most worn. Line your way to work with them. Watch them grow airborne on every detail and distance you noticed, loved and kept to yourself. Press them in the leaves of your journal nourished. In each hand you shook. In the closed eyes that see you still. place one on your bar stool and on the tongue that quotes you. Place 14 flowers on the wounds of Dubliners. Put flowers in the place injustice provoked too much of. Let them be as pure, and if they blossom as briefly, may they wilt at least at nature's pace. That's it.
Where Paul, because we only knew each other through poetry and writing, and we only talked a few times. And like last Monday when I saw him, like last, he said he wanted to see more of myself and he wanted to see me live and stuff. And I said the same back to him. And little did I know, like he'd be gone, like you know. So like that's very beautiful, actually. That's what life is all about, you know? It's meet people and they fall into the poetry of life and beauty, and you're only ever going to see life through your own perspective, and throughout your life you're going to meet other beautiful souls and they're all going to be interwoven into your own beautiful life, and in the end you're not going to see them ever again, but they make you, and it's important to understand that, and that's what life is all about. And it's poetry. And that's what this poem's all about. For Paul. Sea. The sea is our artist. She slides the pieces in her thousand hands, in layers like clay. It hides shells and bones unplanned, then it becomes a loose mosaic of crumbs and sands. The sea is our poet. It whispers lusts with her salt tongues. The slips, waves, and that slides on shores. The cliffs stand instrumental, clashing cymbal sounds, subtle and loud. The sea is our friend. From the coast she departs. We bury the boats in its whispers. As we travel on our poetry, we use part of our art. We move with the sky. She guides us with her signs. From our oars we push on our pores. The sea is our end, when she decides, when she rises, when things are because they are, she builds a wall, and we fall into our cold, we become part of our art, become part of our poetry. Thank you.
Some music into our lives. Come on, Max.
Yeah, sharp one.
Oh my God, I'm so shocked to hear about Paul.
You will.
Just a second.
Oh, this was on the brilliant. There's a channel straight from here too, my love. If you listen to a channel straight above and you tune in on this frequency, my dear, if you make a choice, a voice is clear to hear. My existence is zoneless and timeless, and our words are only audible in silence. And I will comfort you. Just talk for Paul. Anyway, this is a short little dialogue song for what guys and girls want. Okay.
Sometimes we want too much from each other. We haven't a chance, give it back at all. Sometimes you want all of a heart. all. Sometimes you want the impossible, it's just not in their remission. Expecting the improbable, they just want to give one little bit. Oh, don't doubt you're worth it, don't doubt you're worth it, don't doubt you're worthy of it all. Don't settle for second best, don't take their second best when you are given it all. Sometimes those women start at their clinic, want every single bit of me. Writing their rhyming, love songs for singing, what part do they see for me? Don't take my liberty, won't take my liberty, don't trade dependencies. Don't take, how was it? Don't take me literally, don't take me literally, it's all for fun, can't you see? It's all for fun, can't you see? But I'm giving it all. It's all for fun, can't you see? Sorry, I lost it. Actually, I heard about Paul, so just do like it. Carry on.
Excellent, Max. Well done. We have 20 minutes left, and a few people to get you, so we're going to have to keep it nice and tight. Oh no, don't take that question, Max. That wasn't talking about you. Patricia Walsh is next.
It's called craft alcohol. This place has its own shelf life, shunted aside when hordes arrived. But for now, let us take our leisure, the lighted foray into the friendly abyss, holding to ransom the minor archaic. There are others worse off, calmly drinking, walking in others' shoes, a happy seeming. The hard vodka still harks the glory of a cheaper pursuit, conduct unbecoming. Stained glass openings lord over gold. The dusty specials hang themselves dry. The distant boyfriends bone themselves straight. Archaic communications being hang uselessly beneath the plasma of TV to bed for the evening. Historic owners always rumoured. The promise of a food is ubiquitous, foregoing for celebration as perfect. A giggle at cacophony is literally lobby. Easy pen through an unnerving queue. Timing being of the essence, never a cheat. No one not familiar here is never a relief. Solitary company suiting the morning call. Circulating nights, a corolla for your head. Standing by various sins committed elsewhere. A seat kingdom of some description, a worthy prize. Thank you.
Thanks, Trish. I think we have our current five-word champion, Ray Hanrahan.
I was going to do this poem originally, but I'm going to do it now. It's called Social Sniper. Two women at a fishmonger's purview the goods and choose. The poor lady turns toward her well-clad neighbour. Inspired, she says, "Sure, 'tis only a small step from kippers to smoked salmon, no?" Both hand over their money, then, fish in hand, walk away in different directions.
Kieran Raftery next week.
So yeah, I'm gonna play sound music. Like everyone in this room performs, I've been inspired by everyone in different ways. You saw Paul perform once at the Friary, even though I saw him here a couple of times, but in the Friary he blew me away, the two pieces, and inspired me to write, and in a big way. So I have to thank for a lot, because I've benefited a lot from performing. So this one is for Paul. It's a cover, I think you might recognize it, and you can sing along as well if you want. Also, the self-promotion bit, I have a gig on Sunday. It's going to be really, really good. I promise.
We're
6 o'clock.
We're here.
It's 8 o'clock in the Friary.
Oh,
on Sunday, yeah.
1 o'clock?
Apologies if I go over a minute or two as well. Tuning is the best part, though.
So I wrote
is my funny poem for today. But I don't feel funny. What did you give me but broken promises? I never did nothing but lie after lie. For too much of my honesty, I got the opposite. Bend out truth in a blink of the eye. What did you give me but a feeling of lonely? Feeling of broken, by your words deceived. For me, you were always the only. All of your lies, I have believed. What did you give me but a broken heart? Few stolen kisses once in a while. And yet, from you I cannot be apart. When I see you, I smile.
Cedric Picon, please.
Sorry, not getting any happier. Yes. I saw the fireflies in the tall grass, blinking, calling one another. They had waited until the sun set to start their waltz. I heard the calling of the animals as comes the night, dims the light, and every presence is merely a branch that bends, a leaf that falls. I smell the life and its ends, the multiple existences that collide in hunger and struggles, the fear, its order, and what it fends. I tested the air and the iron, their anger and my rage, liquid inside my cheek, the tinnitus deezing like a siren. I touched my side, slip, with my light leaking through my fingers. More than my side, it's my mind that split. I thought about the burn of the village of my child and my lover, how their touch and warmth I yearned. Yet here I rest, wishing it wasn't my turn.
We have Ria Gonzalez next.
Every conversation I ever had with Paul was beautiful, and so was her last one. Poured close into closer nerves, sliding memories and moments into little black glass boxes with labels made from the whisper strand of luminous string, the thing we really are. Labeling dates to places to stages and ages and faces and traces of the way we were. Saw, breathed, lived, ate, prayed, cried, made ourselves seen and saw. What made the way these thoughts came and packaged themselves into these black glass boxes in our heads, materialized by how visualized they'd been and interacted with by us? Did we see things the way the fates played them out? Or did we play our own strings on the gossamer web and weave between the fingers of the fates and rearrange the complex nature of the environment and repackage thoughts, now stained with dismay and to lines lined with distaste? Was that how it really was and always had been? Maybe I should ask them, or would that be strange? Just keep it in. We've been growing from seeds, and we learn to restrict the poison from reaching the earth while embedded in, but in return we imbibe the poison and retain the intensity of that fear. Black glass boxes get cracks when the contents need air and the air is not clear. It's stale, keep it in. We've stopped checking under our beds because the demons live inside our heads in black glass boxes.
Thanks a lot, Ria. If we are really, really quick, we'll squeeze everybody in so we can do it together as a team, I believe in us. Emily Davis Fletcher is next.
I'm so glad somebody plugged themselves, because I'm going to plug myself. I'm reading at the Cork International Poetry Festival on Saturday, the 17th, with six other this poet's Michael Ray is one. He's a regular here, I know. So I hope you can come to that. So, okay, this is called At the STI Clinic. And it's a joyful poem. It's a Fox poem, too. But, at the STI Clinic. You don't suspect a fox, but all the signs are here. As you scan each body, shuffling in with a number, they settle in neat rows, eyes down, warming worries. You see chickens and imagine your face is a lily, opening at your throat. There's a moonstone in the well of your pocket, plucked from under your pillow when the sun was dust, spreading on the horizon. Above you, a broken web is gnawed, and you feel its ghost in your gut. In 30 days, you'll chase a man into the abbey and know what you always look away from when the nurse drags your blood out on a short red leash after running to and from the den of your heart. Stop pretending your spine is a green stem. A man with twilight skin sits across from you. Your blood leaps, the lily falls from your face as he pulls a strand of obsidian from under his white tunic, rolls each bead between thumb and forefinger. A lily would think he is praying. You hear the counting of smooth curves that take you round a loop of night to more. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna, and we look forward to hearing you read at the festival. And Griff Jim, next please.
So this is about working in a call center. There's two call center queens in here, there's kind of four. When the phone rings, I hear gunfire. I've been shot by all kinds of people. Even your own mother has told me to eat lead before spraying her AK-47 mouth. I said sorry as bullets ripped lips into my skin. In training, they said, customers love hearing sorry. Yes, ma'am, I said to your mother. I am her yes man, her candy man. I turned into a pool of sugary sweet courtesy, relying on the spine of my seat to hold me up. When I'm with customers, I become a little Asian girl. I have the daintiest feet and the smallest hands. Kneeling politely at the dinner table with a docile smile, I wear a kimono of permissive silk. The customers are my angry Asian grandfather. I heartedly respect their honor, asking permission to pour them wine, my eyes forever fixed on the carpet. One day I will poison grandfather. Do not trust my docile smile. There are eagles asleep in me, waiting on my notice to be written. They'll awake with yellow eyes and set their sights on chaos. On my very last day, I'll become cruel as Medusa, with snakes coiling my headset, hissing to me with sick amusement as we push the terminally rude into nuclear meltdowns. I will look around like a proud mother, to see my eagles rip a photocopier, carrying parts around the ceiling, flying in a sort of death circle. That day is many years away. So for now, I will answer the phone like I am Florence Nightingale, risking typhus in a makeshift tent. A risk I'm willing, for I'm heaven sent. Cleansing this world, one call at a time, in a habit and a headset.
Elijah,
I know a few undocile Asian women. Tell you what, far over there.
Okay, we have to be super quick anyway, so eyes on the prize. Eliza, next please.
This is her friend, and the title means Elisa, this is not a rose. Elisa, questa non è una rosa. Devono averci pensato innamorati, mi è piaciuto. They must have thought we were in love. It made me happy. That was a rose. We sat at the threshold of our new world, and the hours were gold. Huge and slow, giant tortoises swimming the air. A private show, a secret joke. That was a rose. Evenings became sunsets and mornings sunrises. It took one day of Italian summer to forget one year of cold. I remember your overabundant soul, the way you pour it all around you, densely, profusely, the same way you smoke. Boiling berries, overly sweet, giant tortoises of smoke. You let it go and go and go. Your thoughts are roses, your words are roses. You'd hand them out in buckets and I'd be overly simple, a village girl, sleeping in rooms of roses and dreams of roses. But this is not a rose. Winter was hard enough this year and planted whales in our blue bodies. It took one season to forget being close. You said it, my friend, not all is a rose. Elisa Pistarana Rosa.
This is kind of sad because I had to go to the psychiatric hospital this week to visit someone, and I suppose something Elliot said that out of you need something unbeautiful to write or something. This is unbeautiful, but I've got to read it anyway. No poem I will ever write can describe madness. Ordinary people having fallen through the cracks with no way back. Zombified faces bereft of hope. In shoes with untied laces around the wards they mow. They don't need drugs. They need hope and love, tender loving care to lift them from their despair. The staff look detached. Maybe they have to survive. The patients, the walking dead alive.
There's some incredible talent in this room, so I feel honored to be here with you. I wrote this poem last year when I was in a pretty bad place, so I hope you guys like it. I've seen some gods, and it's true, they're not exactly what you believe. A mass hive of cancerous infections breaking from the same wound that weeps. I've seen these things not in the way that the sun dies at night, but in the evil concealed constructively deep within men's eyes. Who would have thought a time will come where you could ruin my life with ink? Is that all a life is truly worth? Do you have a moment to think? Some people will remain lost, like a malignant tumor that forever rots, never really knowing the shameful cost of a future that's free for all of us. You say these drugs will help. I've watched people around me live in hell, while at the same time the scepter in my own hand I felt. Never sleeping, but forever dreaming. There's a gag in my mouth and I'm still silently weeping. Do you see me, or can you hear me? Yet you choose to say absolutely nothing. Dedication to the point of silence during one's self-mutilation. Thrown into the grinder like another cog or another bud, whichever you can relate to. All I'm trying to say to you is that this could be your fate soon, if you delve too deep without truly understanding the darkness of one's mentality. It's oh so harrowing when you come face to face with the great beast that lays beneath. The surface is but layered sheets, and the further you dig, the closer you get to hell and peace. Cold, introverted, a little bit strange. People are but odd creatures who go to extreme lengths. Twisted are the ones who can watch and stay tame. Stopped one knife close to your heart, yet there's another held to your vein. I'd love, but I know that I'll leave this world alone. Each moment holds my attention, but wisdom and sorrow grow. It's but custom now for all of us to feel a certain way. Insecurity and disillusions have led our fragile hearts astray. Hopeful thoughts of happy dreams distorted and turned grey, but a black eye's crooked smile carved upon my shell's case. I opened my eyes and saw a world that was so similar to yours, except yours appeared in sunshine, while mine suddenly burned. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay, so we have one poet left.
after this poll is finished, we're all gonna run out of here while the daggers that Paul is shooting me incarnate and actually kill me in front of you. We're going to Mainz in 2 seconds, but we're gonna have a read from Jamie Lawton to close the night.
Also wrote this when I wasn't in a great place. It was going to be happy verse to follow it. Never got around to that for some reason. I'm caught like a rabbit in headlights, anxiety depriving me of drive that the stress is supplying. When I finally decide to pick a side, instead of sitting in indifference in the trap of apathy, my self-inflicted lethargy is sapping all my energy, and I thought that there'd better be a better way to temper me. My terror temper telling me to throw a temper tantrum was what taught me to take time out and to grow a thicker skin. Take it on the chin. The dilemma that I'm in is that I'm making the decision between the lesser of two sins. I'm choosing which of the two things I should be using. Turns out it's both I'm abusing. Confusing whether I can't move because I'm snoozing, or whether it's rough because my screw isn't loose enough. What I find tough is I haven't deduced enough, and all I really know is I'm losing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Please round of applause for all these sleeping and writing students who support to Paul Rosario. Thank you for the long of Ali. Thank you for all.